Right, so we've been learning about Hilchos Bishul. This is the third shiur of three shiurim, so we're going to have to pack it in today. But on the other hand, it's important, of course, in halacha, you can't really rush through anything because mistakes crop in, especially when this is a crash course. Nobody really wants to crash. And we'll do our best to make it as clear as possible. So we've explained Monday, 2 days ago, we explained the din of that raw food is subject to Bishul, of course. We explained the five easy ways a person can transgress the melacha of Bishul when it's on the fire, either by stirring or for food which is not fully cooked, or putting a lid on, or pushing it close to the fire, or removing some of the food, or closing the oven door. In that way, a person will transgress the melacha of Bishul. We also explained that if a food is not fully cooked, one has to, before when Shabbos comes in, if it's not a third cooked, and according to some, it has to be fully cooked, but at least if it's not a third cooked, you have to have a blech. Otherwise, the food cannot be left there when Shabbos comes in. That is called shahir. This is because of a concern. A person, if it's only partially cooked, a person may stoke the fire in order to ensure it cooks quicker, ready for Shabbos. And therefore, if it's only partially cooked, it's, I need to have a blech because of the halakhas of shahir. That's an independent din. We also explained that the din called chazorah, that if a food is returned to a fire on Shabbos, it can only be returned even if it is fully cooked. Yeah?
With the blech, only, can you still stir it there?
When if it's fully cooked or not fully cooked?
When it's not fully cooked, you're able to.
That's right, you answered your own question.
But if it's fully cooked,
yes. So theoretically, according to what we said till now, you should be allowed to. There is some sort of chumrah from the coal boy who says that even if it's fully cooked, you still shouldn't stir it when it's on the flame. It seems because there's a concern you may stir it when it's not fully cooked. So that's why whenever we remove an item from the whenever we take soup, for example, fully cooked soup Friday night, we generally don't serve it. We wouldn't serve it when it's on the fire. We take it off the fire, serve it, and then return it to the fire. The reason being because there is a chumrah not to stir even a fully cooked food while it's on the flame. Yeah, but if you do remove a pot, of course it's fully cooked, you want to return it, then one has to fulfill the criteria of chazorah, which means one has to have a blech. And one has to also have intent to return it, and also one has to have it in one's hand throughout the time one's using it, and then return it without letting go of the pot. Right, that's what we saw on Monday. Now, on yesterday, we saw. Yesterday, we discussed the various kalim. For example, a person wants to heat an item which is raw in a keli, meaning a pot. So we explained that there's a keli rishon, keli sheni, keli shlishi. Keli rishon is the pot in which the food was cooked. Keli sheni is the pot, let's say a tureen. You take it from the pot into the tureen. The tureen will be the keli sheni. And then from the tureen into the bowl is going to be keli shlishi. We explained that most items may not be placed in a keli sheni, but may be placed in a keli shlishi. We said that, for example, a carrot or a potato or an onion or whatever it might be, all these things can be placed in a keli shlishi, but not in a keli sheni. We did say, however, there are some exceptions. There's three or four items which cannot even be placed in keli shlishi because they're very easily cooked. There was the salted fish, the eggs, and the tea leaves. Yeah. They may not even be placed even in keli shlishi. And we said, on the other extreme, there are items which are very difficult to cook. The water, the olive oil, and the spices. We said cinnamon and ginger are examples of this. They're very difficult to be cooked, and therefore, they may be placed even in a keli sheni. But generally speaking, not food items which are not cooked may only be placed in a keli shlishi. Then we discussed items which have already been cooked. Bishul acha bishul. And we explained with a solid item which has been cooked already is not subject to bishul afterwards. And therefore a piece of, a fliggle yesterday, if it was cooked, a cooked piece of chicken, meaning it was, if cooked means it was cooked cooked in liquid, for example, you removed it. And then on Shabbos you want to heat it up again, it's permitted to heat it up again. However, with regards to a liquid, we said you could only reheat liquid if it's still partially warm. And we explained the difference between a liquid and a solid. with the Lomdus, we said yesterday with regard to a solid, once it's heated, then the main effect of cooking is remains forever because the constitution has changed. The heat is only a minor additional element, and therefore, if it's been cooked already, it's not subject to further bishbishel. However, with regards to a liquid, we explain that since a liquid, although it's been cooked already, but once it's cooled down completely, it's lost the main purpose of the cooking of it. The heat's gone, and therefore it is subject to bishul, and it may not be reheated, only if it's still partially warm. I must add, however, that in a keli sheni, it's permitted to cook a liquid which has been cooked already. Only in a keli rishon it's prohibited if it's cooled down. When keli sheni, even if it's cooled down, you can reheat a liquid. So, for example, let's say a person wants to make a bowl of washing up water, and he wants it to be a certain temperature, he wants it to be reasonably hot, but he wants to add water, the water from the kettle is too hot for him, so he wants to add some cold water into this hot water. So that's a bit of a silly example, because cold water from the tap obviously has not been cooked yet, right? Water from the tap has not been cooked yet. You want to cook water from a tap, we explain that water can be placed in a keli sheni, okay? But even if the water, as we said yesterday, but even if the water would have already been cooked and cooled down, it can also be placed in a keli sheni. Okay. Now, that's with regard to bishul acha bishul. Now, what would you say with regards to the afia acha bishul or bishul acha afia? Now, this is as follows. There's actually two different types of cooking. There's cooking, which means you heat an item inside a liquid. And there's baking or roasting, in which the heat has a direct effect on the food item. Now, the Gemara says, in fact, the Pasuk says in Parashas Bo, with regard to the Korban Pesach, Ki im tzli eish. Korban Pesach must be roasted. What did roasted mean? It means the power of heat has to affect it directly, not through the medium of liquid. If a person roasts his Paschal lamb, his Korban Pesach, and then he takes the Korban Pesach and puts it in a pot of water, he can no longer eat it. Because it's been cooked. Yeah? That's called bishul acha tzliya, or bishul acha afia. Once an item has been roasted, the Korban Pesach has been roasted, it may not be cooked. Now the discussion is that a din which only applies to Korban Pesach? Because Korban Pesach has to be roasted and only roasted. Or do we say no? Just like the Korban Pesach, which is roasted, it can't be cooked afterwards. Similarly, on Shabbos, to cook a roasted item, or to cook a baked item, which baked and roasted are the same, they're both in both cases the food has been affected by heat directly without the medium of liquid. Yeah, would you say there's an issa on Shabbos to cook a baked item? Or no, just with regard to the Korban Pesach, the special halacha has to be roasted and roasted only. But generally speaking, cooking can't undo the fact it's been baked. Once it has been baked, it's like it's been cooked. And just like ein bishul acha bishul b'dover yovesh, with a dry item there's no bishul acha bishul, so too an item which has been baked is not subject to bishul anymore. Ein bishul acha afia, ein bishul acha tzliya.
I don't understand the difference, because if you're roasting something, technically it's cooked.
There's an effect which has happened to it. True, the effect of roasting or baking, but in as much as with regard to the Korban Pesach, if an item has to be Korban Pesach must be roasted, and if it's cooked, it's not considered roasted, and you can't use it because the cooking does have an effect on it. So similarly, perhaps with a bishul can still make is like a new effect on a roasted item. You can have a piece of cake is a silly example. You don't want to cook a piece of cake; it'd be gross. You have a roast piece of meat, and you cook it in a soup. It does soften it up, and it has an effect on it. And therefore, although ein bishul acha bishul, and ein afia acha afia, and ein tzliya acha tzliya, that's because the same activity is happening twice. But if it's a new form of heating, beforehand it was only heated without liquid, and now you've been heating in liquid, perhaps yesh bishul acha afia, and yesh bishul acha tzliya. And similarly, the question is the other way around. If an item is cooked in a liquid and then you remove it from the liquid and you heat it directly, perhaps now it will be subject to afia. Yesh afia achabishel and yesh tzliya achabishel. This is a massive machloikus rishonim. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskan, at the end of the day, bottom line, is that it should not be done in a keli rishon or a keli sheni, but it may be done in a keli shlishi. So therefore, if you've got your chicken, let's say it was actually cooked in a liquid in the soup, and you take it out, and then you want to heat it up again, you may not do so in a keli rishon or a keli sheni, but you can do so in a keli shlishi. Or similarly, you have, let's say, an item which was baked or roasted, and you want to cook it again, it may be done, but only in a keli shlishi. That is the bottom line. Now, next, we're going to get to tedious very soon, hopefully. We're getting there. Bishul Achafia. Bishul Achafia Achabishul. So, I've said, we've explained, Ein Bishul Achabishul B'Dovi Yovish. An item which has been cooked is not subject to cooking again, provided it's a dry item. Yeah? Now, the question is, how could you cook it again anyway? We've explained you can't take a piece of meat and put it on the fire, even if it's been cooked, because it's an issue of chazora. Chazora means, as we said, you can only return an item to the fire. But let's say, for example, you had a kugel which was cooked already. How are you going to heat up your kugel anyway? True, it's been cooked. Let's say it's very liquidy kugel, very oily kugel. It's been cooked, yeah? But, or even if it's not so oily, it's considered a baked item. But how are you going to reheat it? Where are you going to put it? Let's say a practical example. Let's say a kugel is considered baked. It's not very oily and it's considered baked. How are you going to heat it up? Where are you going to heat it up? Put it on the flame, on the blech? You can't do that. Only chazorah is permitted. An item which was already on the fire when Shabbos comes in, already heat, in the middle of heating process, can be taken off and returned to the blech. But your challah or your kugel, if you return it to the flame on Shabbos, then we've learned in Siman Reishon and Gimel, there's a concern, mechzik mevashel. It would appear, by putting it straight onto the fire, or on the fire where there's a blech, that you're actually heating it for the first time. We learned this in Reishon and Gimel. Gideon, do you remember that, Reishon and Gimel? You can't put something on the fire, Chazorah, the halachas of Chazorah. We've explained there that to put an item on the fire on Shabbos, even if it's cooked already, is mechzik mevashel. It looks like you're cooking it. Chazorah is permitted because it was ready on the flame, and you're just temporarily removing it, and oyde biyodo, it's still in your hand, and datelech, so you plan to put it back, and you have a blech there, so therefore you can return it. But if you take something out of the fridge to put it on the flame, even if there's a blech there, there's an issue of mechzik mevashel. It looks like you're cooking it. Yeah, you can't take something out of the fridge on Shabbos and place it on the fire. Yeah?
That's why we've done something upside down.
Oh. So there's a few ways how a person can reheat this item. Very good. One example is, as you're saying, you get a pot. This is really in Reishon and Gimel. I'm just bringing it here because it's relevant here. In Reishon and Gimel, we learned there's various suggestions of ways a person can reheat a cooked item on the fire itself. One is, if that's quite right, you take an upside-down pot and you take the kugel out of the fridge and put it on the upside-down pot, which is on the fire. The fact you're putting it on this upside-down pot shows that you're not cooking it for the first time, because nobody would cook something on an upside-down pot, right? Clearly, you're only reheating the item. The item has been cooked already, and you're just reheating it, and since it's a dry item, ein bishul achar bishul b'dovah yovish, it's clearly just an act of reheating, and therefore it's permitted. Doesn't look like cooking at all, because you're putting it on an upside-down pot. Correct. Another way of doing this is, as which is probably even more common, is you take the kugel or the kigel, which, as I said, let's assume it's a baked item, huh? Because that's not the whole concern of putting it back onto a flame. If it's been fully cooked, it's not subject to bishul anymore. There's no bishul anymore. It's been fully cooked. Ein bishul achar bishul b'dovah yovish. The concern is only the element of it looking like you're cooking it for the first time. By putting it onto a flame or a source of heat, it looks like you're cooking. There's an element of mechzik mevashel. And therefore, if you put an upside-down pot, there's no longer an element of mechzik mevashel, because nobody would cook an upside-down pot. So therefore, there's no issue of mechzik mevashel. Pardon? Okay, I'm going to give you another example. Another type of shene would be, which is even more frequent, is you take your challah out of the fridge or the freezer, or your kugel out of the fridge or the freezer, and put it on top of the Shabbos urn. how can you put it on the Shabbos urn? The Shabbos urn is attached, is connected to electricity, or it's on the hob, yeah. And it's you're thereby putting this challah, putting this kugel, on the flame, essentially on the flame, or on the something which is directly powered by the flame. And the answer to that is, again, since people never cook things on top of a pot which is cooking, for example, here you have your Shabbos urn. In the Shabbos urn is water which is being cooked continually over Shabbos, yeah, and you're putting a challah, you're putting a kugel on top of that. That's not the way a person would normally cook. So therefore you've avoided any element of mechsakim of ashal, any element of it appearing to be an act of cooking, and that's going to be fine. Again, ein bishel achar bishel. There's no issue of cooking intrinsically of bishul itself, because the item's already been cooked and it's a dry item. Ein bishul achar bishul. And also ein afia achar afia and ein atzlia achar atzlia. If you're just doing the same activity twice, there's no intrinsically issue of bishul melacha bishul doesn't apply. Either there's going to be a concern, it looks like you're cooking. Well, I'm sorry, if you're putting it on top of a pot which is cooking on the fire, there's no mechsik and mevashal either. It doesn't look like you're cooking, and that's permitted. And that's what we do. And that's important to understand this. It's these applications, an item which is not subject to cooking, because ein bishul achar bishul, the yovish is a dry item, it's not subject to cooking, it's been cooked already, it may be placed, returned, not to the fire directly or to the blech, because then there's an element of mechsik and mevashal, looks like you're cooking, but it may be returned to either an upside down pot which is on the flame, or to on top of a Shabbos urn which is cooking liquid, or on top of a cholent pot if you want. You can put your chal on top of your cholent pot. That's also fine, because there's no mechsik and mevashal, you've avoided both issues.
Would you be, in a case you would go to someone for lunch and you see that the kugel is actually on the hot plate without upside down
pot?
Would be an issue if you to eat that?
Well, I didn't discuss a hot plate. I always spoke about a hob. I've never said a word about a hot plate.
Oh.
There's a question if on Machlokes actually in the contemporary poskim, can you take your kugel or your kigel and put it on directly onto a hot plate?
Right.
Now the kugel is completely been cooked already.
Yeah.
I'm sure Rabbi Patka spoken about this, it was probably a long time ago. But what is the question? The question is, there's no issue of cooking because it's already been cooked. There's a question of mechsik and mevashal, the fact it appears to be an act of cooking. You can't put it onto a stove. But the question is, a hot plate, would you say, let's have a show of hands, would you say that, well, people cook on a stove, but they don't cook on a hot plate, and therefore it's just a place for keeping food warm. And therefore, there's no mechsik and mevashal, like you were saying before. Maybe you've got another example of a situation where it's not a place we actually cook. Therefore, you take something, cook it out of the fridge, put it on the hot plate directly. What's the problem? Because people don't cook on a hot plate.
You might turn the switch to make it higher.
Well, so that's also an issue, but no, most of the hot plates, they don't have a switch. They don't normally have a switch. No, they don't have switches. They don't have switches. They don't have a dial. They have a switch. They don't have a dial. They don't have a dial, you can turn it up. They don't have a dial. So the question is, do you say, since people don't cook on a hot plate, so therefore there's no mechsik and mevashal, you can actually take out the fridge, put it on the hot plate. And some people say, no, come on, it's like a, sort of almost looks, the appearance is so similar to a stove, it's, although maybe you don't cook on it, but you keep food which is warm, you keep it warm on this thing. That's also a source it's an area where, although it's not meant to keep food warm, but it, first of all, you could actually cook. If you put something on there long enough, it would cook. And also, it's meant for the kitchen, for cooking, almost directly. It's a direct source of heat there. Perhaps it's not going to be permitted. And this is a subject to machlokes. There are makilim in it. Reb Moshe's mekel and Reb Falke's machmir. I think Reb Shlomo Zalman's machmir. It's different machlokes. I'm poskim. So therefore, if I'd go to somebody's house Shabbos morning, I wouldn't make a fuss. No, I won't make a fuss about it. But ideally, I would put a pot upside down pot. That would be a massive pot. You think it could be, let's say, you know, these metal foil container, which is, let's say, an inch high or something, a couple of inches. That's fine. Let's put the kugel on top of that. Right. Now, one final thing before we get to the tea, and that is as follows. Right, this is a crash course, right? So we're doing our best to squish it in. So the question is, we've discussed Bishul Achar Bishul. We've explained yesterday with a dry item which has been cooked is no longer subject to Bishul, and a liquid item which has been cooked, it has to be cooled off, it has to have cooled down in order to be subject to Bishul, but provided it's still a bit warm, it's not subject to Bishul because it still retains some of its heat element. We explained that yesterday. Now there's a question in the Machlokes in the Poskim, what's the din of a soluble solid? You have sometimes an item which has been cooked already, a solid item which has been cooked, but the purpose of the item is to be mixed in a liquid. For example, instant coffee or sugar, which has been cooked already, but it's been ground somewhat, and it's the purpose of it is to be placed into a liquid. Do you say, well, it's got the din of a dry item, and therefore it's not subject to any further Bishul? And if that's the case, you could even put it into a Keli Rishon. Or do you say, no, since it's expected to go into a liquid, therefore it already has a din of a liquid, and since it's cooled down, it's cold, sugar is cold, and since the coffee is cold, it can only be put into a Keli Sheni because it already has a din of a liquid. This is a big machlokes, and we are machmir lechatchila to treat it like a liquid. So now this takes us to the world of making a cup of coffee. Be'ezus Hashem, we should get the halacha correct. Now, so again, we're discussing here instant coffee, which is a cooked item, and it's a cooked soluble item, and therefore ideally put it into a Keli Sheni. Now, therefore, so that's the din of the coffee itself. Sugar also can be put into a Keli Sheni. It's a cooked item. At most, since it's soluble, you should treat it like a liquid. But even with a liquid which has been cooked already, it may be placed in a Keli Sheni. It can therefore be placed in a Keli Sheni. What about the milk? Now, our milk is what? Pasteurized. Pasteurized means it's been cooked. If it's been cooked, so what's the din of a cooked liquid? Well, if it's still warm, you can put in Keli Rishon. If it's cooled down, it can only be placed into a Keli Sheni. So therefore, the coffee, the sugar, and the milk can all be placed into a Keli Sheni. If the milk is not pasteurized, we said yesterday, then it should only be put into Keli Shlishi, because any item which is not cooked, apart from those exceptions, should be put into Keli Shlishi. Similarly, we explained yesterday, with regard to Keli Shlishi, Irui Keli Sheni is the same as Keli Shlishi, so therefore you could either pour hot water onto the milk which is not pasteurized, because Irui Keli Sheni is the same as from a Keli Sheni. Irui pouring from a Keli Sheni is the same as placing the item into a Keli Shlishi, so you could either place the milk which has not been cooked in a Keli Shlishi, or pour from a Keli Sheni onto the milk. But the other items, the coffee, instant coffee and the sugar, can be placed into a Keli Sheni. Now, Rav Shimon Ida, Olav HaShalom, the Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein, he says he's concerned about instant coffee. He says you should only put it into a Keli Shlishi. And he has two reasons for this. And probably this is why people are used to hearing you do coffee, instant coffee in a Keli Shlishi, yeah? I think it's because of this Rabbi Shimon Ida. He says as follows. First of all, he says like this. If you dissect the various stages that the coffee has been through to create the instant coffee, first of all, the beans have been roasted. Then they've been percolated, they've been cooked. And then the liquid to make an essence, and then they're either heat dried or freeze dried to remove the liquid, and then they're crushed to make these instant granules. Now the first stage of roasting the beans is like an afia, a baking of the bean. Then they're percolated, they're cooked, which is like a bishul, and then they're evaporated. Now when they're evaporated, they can either be, as I said, either heat dried or freeze dried. Now Rav Shimon Ida has a concern. If they're heat dried, perhaps that's like an afia process after the bishul. which would mean that these granules have first been baked, which is afia, then they've been percolated, which is bishul, then they've been heat-dried, which is like afia. Now, the bi'aloch has got a sofik. We've discussed beforehand the issue of cooking a baked item or baking a cooked item. Now, what would you say to cooking an item which has just been baked after being cooked, after being baked? Oh, wow. Again, we've got this bean. The bean was originally roasted, which is an afia. Then it was percolated, which is a bishul. Then it's heat-dried, which perhaps is also an afia. In which case, says Reb Shimon Aida, when you're cooking it now, it's like a bishul acha afia. Because the original cooking has been, the original cooking after the original roasting has been negated, because afterwards it was heat-dried. The heat-dried is like baking it after it was cooked. So now if you put it now it's now an item which is subject to bishul, because the baking of the heat-drying effect has annulled the cooking effect of it. Yeah, and therefore to now put it, it's now like an item which has not been cooked. And any item which has not been cooked cannot be put into a keli sheni, only into a keli shlishi. Therefore he says, you should put it into a keli shlishi, not a keli sheni. Hope you enjoyed that little stickle. A second svara he has is, the reason he says you should put it into a keli shlishi, he says because these are made so fine and so refined, he suggests that the instant coffee, it really in the manufacturing of it, they leave a certain amount of tikkun, of improvement, that is only comes to its climax in the person's cup. And therefore there's something missing it's not been fully cooked ever in the factory. Even if you don't take on that svar I just told you about, you don't take on that concern, there's a different concern, and that is maybe in your cup, they've left something to be done in your cup, some bishul to take place in your cup, and that's like the gemar, the completion of it, and that is taking place, and therefore it's not fully cooked. If it's not fully cooked, again, it's like any other item which is not fully cooked, it can only be done in keli shlishi. So therefore the instant coffee should only be done in a keli shlishi, because of these two interesting additional concerns, and instant tea is the same thing. I must add one more point, sorry to keep you, and that is like this. There's been a bit of an outcry recently with regards to the coffees. I don't know if you've heard about it, because they're found in some of the more modern coffees. There's a new type of gold blend. I've been asked about this. In the ingredients, it's got something called ground coffee. It's about 3%. It's a slightly smaller and sleekier bottle of coffee, jar of coffee. And this ground coffee has actually never been cooked. It's like almost like raw. Maybe it's been roasted a bit, but it's never been cooked at all. They do make this now. And there's a concern that this coffee, there's even more of a concern, this coffee... perhaps it can't even be put into keli shlishi, and I'll explain to you the reason, that because it's inedible, I don't want to get too much into lomdus over here, but it could be, say it has the same thing as tea leaves. You know, we said less tea leaves, you can never, is one of the exceptions, you can never cook a tea leaf, even in keli shlishi, the Mishnah Berurah says. The reason for that is because the leaf itself is not edible, and there's a certain extraction that takes place when you put hot water, when you heat it in hot water, and that extraction is called samamonim, and that can never be done even in a keli shlishi, because it's a very significant tikkun. It's not you're not cooking a food item; you're cooking a leaf which extracts liquid from it, and that even in keli shlishi can't be done. And the concern with this ground coffee, this 3% ground coffee, which has never actually been cooked, it's only been roasted, it's not been cooked. There's a concern that it's actually not edible, and since it's not edible, this ground coffee, because it hasn't properly been cooked, there's only 3% of it in it, so it doesn't really disturb your coffee. Obviously, put it in for a certain taste element, but it's not actually edible. Perhaps it has the din of a samonim, of a leaf, but therefore it can't even be cooked in a keli shlishi. And therefore, there are those who are machmir, not at all to use this new type of coffee on Shabbos. If one wants to, one could make an essence before Shabbos and then use it on Shabbos. I haven't got time really to involve us to explain exactly how to do the essence, Bal Koponim, just pointing out this issue. So with regards to making a cup of instant coffee or instant tea on Shabbos, although let's go through it again. Although we have the instant coffee, instant, and the sugar are cooked soluble solids. We said there was a machlokes whether to be considered a solid or a liquid. If they're a solid, they can be put even in a keli rishon. If they're to be considered a liquid, because they're going to be placed in a liquid, they can only be put in a keli sheni. But nevertheless, we have these two additional concerns of Reb Shimon Aida, that perhaps by putting it into a keli, it's actually either considered a bishul acha afia, they've never actually been cooked, They've been just been roasted and they're now to put it into a cup is like cooking it after the afia. Or the other concern of Rav Moshe that the manufacturer leaves a certain element of cooking to take place in the cup, and therefore we'd only do it in a keli shlishi. Or we pour hot water from a keli sheni onto it, which is also the equivalent of a keli sheni. We also discussed today the important halacha of a person takes an item which is fully cooked out of a fridge on Shabbos. He should either put it onto a pot which is upside down on the fire, or put it on top of something which is actually cooking on the fire, like the Shabbos urn or the cholin pot. And thereby there's no issue of bishul because the item's been cooked already. There's no issue of looking like cooking because it doesn't look like cooking if you put it onto one of these two areas. And there's a machlokes, as I said, some also make it on top of a, on top of, to take something out of the fridge which is cooked and put it on top of a, on a tray. Rabbi said, this really is a crash course. And I hope there's been some tearless mit. I hope nobody can be nichshol and chas sholom take something misunderstanding. I've done my best. And if you have any shailas, of course, you should ask a rabbi. At least it opens and broadens the shailas and brings, reminds the item of the questions. Yes. Tea leaves. Yeah. Well, that's actually no. We said the tea leaves were one of the exceptions. Most items you can put in a keli shlishi, apart from
tea leaves. What about tea bags? Same thing.
Also, I didn't get involved in. I didn't have time for tea bags. I'm sorry, I'm late already. I haven't got time for tea bags. I told them there's tea bags. Tea bags. First of all, they're all different. Some are cooked. Some are cooked. Some are just the leaf itself. Some have been cooked already. Some have all different procedures have been done. So it's very difficult to know. Are they just the leaf? Is it just the leaf? In which case, you can't do much with it on Shabbos because it's a cake. You can't even put in keli shlishi. Or has it been cooked already and therefore it's not subject to cooking? You know, difficult to know. Additionally, with tea bags, sorry to break the news to you, that the tea bags are actually used. One must be careful if one does use tea bags not to use them as a filter. That means, it's interesting, it's a machal called boire. Boire means you'll come to Be'ez Hashem in the next sieve and it's called boire. You mustn't filter things out on Shabbos to use a filter or sieve. Now, the tea bag is actually very much a sieve, because you pull it out of the cup and the liquid will come out and the sediments remain behind. There's an issue of boire involved in using that. The suggestion would be to take a spoon and remove the entire thing together. You have to take some of the liquid with it. It gets complicated. So there's two issues. One issue of bishul, one issue of boire. So best is to use either to prepare an essence from it before Shabbos. Before Shabbos, what you could do is you get 6 tea bags, or however many tea bags you want, and pour boiling hot water onto it, or even better, put them into a bowl of hot water, in which case you know for sure these tea bags, all the leaves, all the sediments, and this essence have been fully cooked before Shabbos in a keli rishon. And then on Shabbos, then you remove all the liquid before Shabbos. Therefore, there'll be no issue of separating the solid from the liquid, which can be an issue of boira, and you have this liquid which you could just mix with other water on Shabbos. You know, it's been fully cooked. A liquid which has been fully cooked, what's the din? If it has to either be a bit warm, you put in keli rishon, or even if it's cold, you put in keli sheni. So you can mix that with keli sheni water, that would be fine. The alternative is to use instant tea granules, which is what most people do. And they do it in a keli shlishi, as we've explained why, because the same issues with coffee as with tea. You know, the whole chumras, which are two, the Rav Shimon Ida's got two issues with putting in the keli sheni, two in the keli shlishi, that's fine. And this additional point, which I've just said about the modern sort of coffee, there's a whole issue about that at the moment because there's some particles in it which have not been processed before. You'll see around in the different shuls.
There was a notice, don't use it.
Oh, yeah?
Gold blend, whatever.
Yeah.
Don't use this on Shabbos.
Yeah, why not use it on Shabbos? Because it hasn't had the proper, hasn't been properly cooked yet. It's also not edible because it's not been roasted, and therefore the whole issue with it. Even a keli shlishi.
You could say it becomes bottles.
There's all Torahs about it. Yeah. Everything in Yiddishkeit is Torah. Hopefully I've done some substance to the Indian. Of course, all we ask a shayla if you ever want to know what to do to Maisa.